Asa Shemitah.
Shemitah.
Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Bahar that every seventh year we observe Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs, the 50th year is Shnasa Yovel. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim what that means. Rabbi Yudi is of the opinion that you keep on counting 7, 7, 7, 7, we are void, and the Yovel year is not a blank year. That opinion is basically not accepted. We possibly count 50-50, 50-50, and every seventh year is Shemitah, and then the Shnasa Yovel. The Yovel year is a blank year, not part of any Shemitah. Since the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, we have been following Reb Yudah's opinion that we count 7-7. We don't count the Yovel year as a blank year. That's what the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim. There were Gaonim who lived in Babel, and there were Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael said like that, they wrote like that, and that's what they observed. They said that after the destruction of Beis Hamikdash, you only count 7-7. You don't count Yovel as a blank year. And the Rambam says he doesn't think that it makes any sense. He thinks that you should count 50-50. But he says, what can we do? We follow the tradition, even if we think that it doesn't make any sense. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, no, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. We should follow the Rambam. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that to the best of his knowledge, this is the only place where the Rambam paskens against the Rambam, and the Ravid disagrees and says, no, you should pasken like the Rambam. But that's the practice now. In every luach, it says that Tavshin Ayin Hey, this coming Rosh Hashanah, begins Tavshin Ayin Hey, will be Shnas HaShmita Kefi Minik HaGaonim. According to the tradition of the Gaonim, that we don't count Yovel as a blank year. Is the mitzvah of Shemitah still obligatory min HaTorah, or should one assume that perhaps it's only mid Rabbanon? So the Tanoim in the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, and that pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, presents Tanoim quote the Machlokes Rebbe and Achacham, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the one who edited the Mishnayos, not the same Tan as Rabbi Yudah, the Rebbe Loi. So Rebbe is of the opinion that the two Parshas, the two paragraphs, are connected. You only have to observe Shemitah min HaTorah if you know it can lead up to Yovel. If you know in advance that some of the conditions of Yovel are lacking, and you're not going to have any Yovel, then the whole obligation to observe Shemitah is only Midirabbon. So today, the Gemara says, there's no obligation to observe Yovel because the Pasuk that happens to appear on the Liberty Bell, Joshim Dror Ba'oritz L'chol Yoshveho, thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So that Pasuk means, has the connotation, that Yovel is only obligatory when you have Kol Yoshveho Aleho, when you have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. So since we're missing that, the whole Baisheni period, and still Ad HaYom HaZeh, we still don't have Rov Yoshveho living in Eretz Yisrael. So the whole Shemitah is only obligatory Midirabbanan. That's the generally accepted opinion. The Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only Midirabbanan. The Daf Yomi people are learning Maseches Moed Katan now, and that was on the first daf in the Masechta. The Mishnayos and Moed Katan and Gittin and different Masechtas have certain leniencies, certain kulas regarding Shnas HaShemitah. The Gemara says the reason why we have these kulas is because Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan. Those who want to always be Machmer on Shemitah, so they always throw in that the Kesef Mishnah, the commentary on the side of the Rambam, written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Kesef Mishnah writes that he thinks that the Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is there. I said, but it's generally assumed that it's not so. Usually assumed that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan, because we're lacking Kol Yoshveho Aleha, and Shemitah is only the Raisa if you know in advance that it's going to lead up to Yovel. The most important dinim of Shemitah apply to the farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael. They're not allowed to plow, they're not allowed to plant, they're not allowed to help anything grow. They're permitted to build buildings and pave highways and so on, but not anything that has to do with causing vegetation to grow. That's what you're not allowed to do. In the 1600s, there were a few Jewish farmers.
And that the rabbi will finish after, this is the place we call it Mazagon. You have to understand that El Jadida before,
but there were a handful of Jewish farmers who hardly made a parnasa. And if they would observe Shemitah, they would be have to live off of charity. They would be ani and merudim. So the Gedolim in the 1600s, they're only Sfarish Gedolim. So the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael at that time came up with this idea of the Heter Mechira. That if they sell the land to a Nachri, Kishnas HaShemitah, then all the laws of Shemitah don't apply, based on the assumption that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabban. Where did they get such an Eifal? That if they sell to a Nachri, because the whole thing is only with the Rabbanon, so there's no Kedusha Sa'aret, so they got it from the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara has such a machlokes. If a Nachri owns a farm in Eretz Yisrael, Peiros grows, and normally whatever grows on the Jewish farm is Tevel, until you mafresh Trumas and Maisras. What if a Nachri buys a field in Eretz Yisrael? They say, Yesh Kinyan a Nachri in Eretz Yisrael, Lahavkia Miyad Trumas and Maisras, or Ein Kinyan a Nachri in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Ein Kinyan a Nachri in Eretz Yisrael, Lahavkia Miyad Trumas and Maisras, even if the farm belongs to a Nachri. Whatever grows, whatever fruits or vegetables or grain, whatever grows is tevel, and you have to be mafresh trumas maizes. The nachri is permitted to eat without afrosha. It's not from the seven mitzvahs b'nidah, but the Jews that buy from him have to be mafresh trumas maizes. And the Gemara says that that's only in Eretz Yisrael because the kedusha is min haTorah. But in Syria was conquered by David HaMelech for his private purposes. It wasn't the kibush rabbim. The conquest of Syria was done privately by David for his family. It wasn't done on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So the Tanaim had a big machlokes, had to view the status of Syria. The accepted opinion was that kibush yachid is lav shmei kibush. That was not mekadesh Syria. And Syria only had a kedusha of Eretz Yisrael midirabbanan, a make-believe kedusha midirabbanan, and not benatar. So that's why the Gemara says, since the whole obligation to observe mitzvahs atlis ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvahs in Syria is only with Rabbanan, so if the farm belongs to a Nachri, so all the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So the Gedolim in the 1600s said the same is true regarding Eretz Yisrael proper with respect to Shemitah. Since Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan, because it can't lead up to Yovel, that's the generally accepted opinion, like the Shita of Rebbe against the Chachamim. Shemitah is only the rice if it's going to lead up to Yovel. So in Eretz Yisrael proper, if you sell the land to a non-Jew, so the laws of Shemitah don't apply. So in the late 1800s, when the Jews started to found the kibbutzim and moshavot in Eretz Yisrael, and they had difficulty observing the laws of Shemitah, so the Rabbanim in Europe said we should invoke this kula from Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan together with other gedolim. Said we should invoke this kula of the Heter Mechira that the Sfarish gedolim came up with in the 1600s. It happens that Badatz didn't like that Heter. There were a lot of tainus against the Heter. They didn't like the Heter, and even when they recommended to the farmers that they should rely on the Heter, they didn't want to do the Mechira. They said they should go to the Rabbi in Yafo. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He's the one who put out the Siddur Hagra. He'll do the Mechira for that. He did the Mechira. So after that rabbi passed away, they invited Rabbi Cook from Europe to become the rabbi in Yafo, so that fell into his lap. Like whoever is the rabbi at the Jewish Center in Manhattan is responsible to supervise the Manhattan Erev. And whoever is the rabbi in Young Israel Flatbush, where Rabbi Sharpman used to be, is responsible to supervise the Flatbush Erev. So this fell into Rabbi Cook's lap. He wasn't the originator of the Heter Mechira. It's just that the Heter Mechira was there from the 1600s, and the rabbi in Yafo introduced it, so he did it also. So that's a question regarding the farmers, whether they're doing right or not. But as far as the customers are concerned, what's the issue as far, if you're not a farmer in Arizona, what's the issue? So there are several issues of Shemitah regarding the customers. One issue is that because they sell the land, most of the farmers in Eretz Yisrael rely on the Rabbanut selling the land to a non-Jew. So they keep the fences up and they prevent outsiders from taking the payers. So that the Chumash says he's supposed to be mafkir all the payers. But because they sold the land to a Nachri, the Nachri doesn't have that the mitzvah of Tishmateno and Atashta being mafkir the payers. So that's why they keep up the fences. They don't let anybody take it. So on the last daf in Yevamos, Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a mechudish dikta pshat, an original pshat in the Gemara, and the Shumer is also ba'achilo. If a person kept the fences up and he didn't allow anybody from the public to be zechem and hefker, the perish mita, so the food is also ba'achilo. So if the customers, let's say the people in Eretz Yisrael, feel that one should be machma, not to rely on the head of Mathira, so are they allowed to eat any of the produce, any of the food, because it's all Meshumer. Rabbi Natan holds you're not allowed to eat. So the truth of the matter is that the rove of the Rishonim, the majority of the Rishonim, do not agree with Rabbi Natan. They say there is no such thing. There's no such halacha as Meshumer. They interpret Gemara in the end of Yevamos differently. The Gemara, the way the Rabbi Natan interpreted, the Gemara doesn't exist. They have a different shot than the whole Gemara. Then there's also a machlokes. Some Rishonim interpret in Mishnayos and Shviyos that Nevad is also Bachil. If a farmer violated the laws of Shemitah, the farmer relies on the Hetter Mechira, so he thinks that he's doing the Hetter. The customers don't want to rely on the Hetter Mechira, so as far as they're concerned, the farmer violated the laws of Shemitah. So there is a minority opinion that Nevad, food that grew because farmers were doing work in Shnas HaShemitah that they weren't allowed to do, is also b'achila, like Hamavashal b'Shabbos. If a Jew cooks food on Shabbos b'Yisr, so there is a penalty that no one's allowed to eat it till after Shabbos. So there was a minority opinion that Nevad is also b'achila, but we don't really pass them like that.
You know that
I'm going
to...
When the farmer violated the laws of Shemitah, the Ikaret did, we don't pass them like that either. So in the Yeshiva Kol Torah, where Rav Shlomo Zalman was the Rosh Yeshiva for so many years, and they were always machmir, and the Chadar Ruchel, they wouldn't rely on head to the field. Rav Shlomo Zalman told the Talmidim, when they go home, they shouldn't give their parents a hard time.
No,
the farmers were relying on the head of the Mechira. So the Ikaret Din, they're permitted to eat it. They don't have to worry about Meshumer. They don't have to worry about Ne'evad. The halacha is that the non-farmers have to worry about are regarding the Kedushas Perish Mitzvah. If a person doesn't want to rely on the head of the Mechira, so he has to treat the payers that he buys in the store as if they have Kedushas Perish Vias, if he doesn't want to rely on them in the field. And the relevance of Kedushas Perish Vias is, the Chumash says, Shabbos Ois Lachem Le'ochlo, that the mitzvah is that Perish Vias are supposed to be eaten. So the Gemara has a whole series of drushes commenting on the word Le'ochlo. Le'ochlo B'lo Le'echsi. Let's say a person eats something and he stuffed that he wants to leave over. So there's a baltashkes to throw out the food that you're leaving over, but there's a baltashkes de gufa, to stuff yourself with food, to get yourself sick and uncomfortable, is more serious than the baltashkes and the food. So all year long, if you have a little food that we don't want to eat, we have leftover food, so we throw it in the garbage because we're more concerned about baltashkes de gufa than the baltashkes on the food. If it's perish v'yis, though, the halacha says you're not permitted to throw it out. That's based on the drush of the Aish Shabbos Oros Lachem la'ochla la'ochla v'lo lehefsi. You're not allowed to throw it out. So what do you have to do? You have to put it in the freezer. So you're not mechuyev to put it in the freezer to save it forever, but you're not allowed to throw it in the garbage together with the dirty diapers or with the cigarette ashes. So you have to leave it around the house till it becomes nifsal me'achilas adam. Once it's nifsal me'achilas adam, then there's no longer a mitzvah of le'ochla. So that's what everybody knows in Eretz Yisrael. You have a pach shvitz. Instead of having the garbage can, the regular garbage can, where you throw all the garbage together, so you throw the leftover fruits, or the leftover, fruits basically, leftover fruits from perish shvitz, so you or if you have some vegetables, on kedushas perishes, we'll have to talk about that later, then you will leave it on the side in a special container until it becomes nifsa me'achila, and then you can throw it out. Vegetables is a separate halacha, since vegetables are normally planted every year. So the Gemara has a din of svichim. The vegetables, even if they grew by themselves in Shnas HaShmita, may not be eaten in the Rabbanon because of Xeira. A farmer may violate the way the Shmita plant the vegetables and make believe that they grew on their own. That's an accepted opinion, that svichim is an Issa de Rabbanon. Marcos Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that svichim, eat vegetables that grew by themselves, is a biblical prohibition, and we don't pass on that. If the vegetables were planted right before Shmita this year, we're going to plant up until Rosh Hashanah. If the vegetables were planted before Shmita, and they started to sprout already a little bit above the ground before Shmita began, after a couple of days, something already started to sprout. Most of the Rishonim are of the opinion that that's not included, those vegetables are not included in the prohibition of Svichim. Even though many Sfardim often follow the Rambam's opinion, like the Moroccans always follow the Rambam, many Sfardim follow the Rambam, so with respect to this then, even the Sfardish Gedolim say that they're prepared to be mekel, to be lenient, to follow Rov Rishonim, because the Kesef Mishnah of Yisrael Karo in his commentary on the side of the Rambam quotes all of the Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, sort of implying that he doesn't think we have to be machmer for this Rambam. So the svichim, the vegetables that grew because they were planted before Shemitah, that's not included in the prohibition of svichim. Only vegetables that grew on their own during Shnas HaShemitah may not be, but fruits that grow on the trees, those may be. So what is the thing the achla will all have? Said you're not allowed to throw out. So if you have leftover fruits, you have to save it till it becomes nifsa me'achila. Then there's another din d'ochla below the hefsid, that even though all year long many people have the practice that when they make up dollars, they fill up the cup of wine till it overflows, and then they'll extinguish the Havdalah candle, the flame, into the wine. They're going to throw out that wine. Or on Pesach night, when they dip their finger into the kois of Yayin and they pour out a little bit of wine for Domitz Vadea, Tzach Hadash Bachav, on Pesach night, on Shnas HaShmita, if you have Shmita wine, you shouldn't use it for Havdalah because you're going to throw some of it out. And you shouldn't use it for Abba Kaisis, for that cup of wine where you're going to spill out some of the wine. That's a violation of Le'ochla V'lola Hefsim. Because Tanaim say even Le'ochla V'lola Menachas, that you're not permitted to use wheat that grew in Shnas HaShmita, that was planted before Shmita, it grew in Shnas HaShmita, you're not allowed to use it for a Karban Mincha because it's going to burn it on the Mizbeach. It's supposed to be Le'ochla for human beings to eat. You're not supposed to burn it on the Mizbeach, and you're not supposed to waste it either. The main thing is Le'ochla V'lola Hefsim. You're not allowed to use it to make a medication out of it. Whatever can be used for eating purposes should be used for achila, not for melukma, for medicine. And then the Gemara has another level of a drosha, you're not allowed to make business with perishvitas. So to sell one apple to someone for a nickel, that's not called schori, not making a parnasa from that. But leave your field open, efker, and I'll grab $1,000 worth of pears, everything is hefker, so I also have a right to grab it. So kol hakodim zocha, so I'll grab $1,000 worth of apples, and I'll sell them, and I'll make $1,000. That's a violation of la'ochla below the schorah. So what do you do? Let's say a farmer has a lot of pears, how does he make them available to their customers? So the recommendation that the Chacham came up with, mentioned in the Tosefta, for some strange reason, the Rambam does not quote this din. So they're not sure whether the Rambam omitted it because he holds that it's incorrect, or the Rambam forgot to mention it, whatever. But the Tosefta has the din of Oitzer Bezdin, that the Bezdin should supervise the sale of the fruits to make sure that the farmers are not making profit on selling the fruits. The farmers are entitled to get paid for the work that they did. They're not allowed to do melechas hakarka to help the berries grow better, but some halachas they are permitted to do during shmita. So they're entitled to get paid for the work that they did. Then whoever plucks off the apples is entitled to get a salary. Whoever drives the truck to bring the apples to the market is allowed to make a salary. Whoever stands in the store to sell the apples is entitled to a salary as a salesman. But no one's supposed to be making profit because of the fact that he's selling his apples. So theoretically, the pair of shmius that is sold through the Oitz of Bezna should be sold for one-third of the price that they normally cost during the other 6 years. The reason why it usually turns out to be in the reverse, that the parish leaves that are sold by Yotze doesn't cost more than the same fruits would cost during the other six years in the shlita, is because the Batidinim always do the work in a Batmanisha fashion. So they don't have the right truck drivers, and they don't have the right salesmen, and everything is done in such Batmanis, so they pay, the people pay more. But for this coming year, seven Batidinim joined together to make one big Oitze Bezna Klali, and they supposedly will see to it, they made a promise that they're going to see to it that the price will be much less than the price should normally be. It should be one-third the price. And this will be supported by wealthy Balabatim in America to make sure that the Oitze Bezna makes sense. The Bezna will be paying the farmers right away. Let's say the farmers lay out money in order to do some avodas that they're allowed to do during Shemitah, not relying on Hetter Mefira. So they're entitled to get paid right away. They're supposed to be paid right away. The farmers are supposed to get paid during Shnas HaShemitah as workers doing the work on behalf of the Bezna. So the Bezna is going to have money in advance to pay the farmers right away. And then when the payers will be sold, the Bezna will be recovering the money that they laid out. But no one's supposed to be making any profit on the parish leaves that they're selling, that they're doing the ochlo below the schorah, not to make business with the parish leaves. Usually there is a din of shas habiur, the rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael and the badats, they all give out the same sheet, a list of every single fruit and vegetable and so on, when the shas habiur is. Shas habiur is when there's no longer any watermelons on the field, so then you're not allowed to, you have to be mafka whatever watermelons you have in the house. With no longer apples on the field for the behemoth, the pasuk says, "Vayisa Shabbos os lachem liyochlo lachol v'hemtocha v'lachaya asher biyatzecha." Because the kozman that is still, that pre is still on the tree, is still available on the field for the behemoth, then you're permitted to eat it at home. And the minute that and each fruit and vegetable has a different Shas Habir. Shas Habir is always in the eighth year. So there's no longer any peiros available in the field, then that pre may no longer be eaten. What you have in the house, you have to be marked with first, and then you can mizrech it back min ha'efkes. If you have peiros that you purchased through Oitz HaBezna, so the Oitz HaBezna already saw to it that everything will be distributed properly. So there's no din of biur, there's no problem of shas habiur on areas that are Oitz HaBezna. So that's what all the Gedolim always used to recommend, the Chazanish and Rav Kook and Rav Al Yashin and everybody recommended you should have an Oitz HaBezna to take care of all of the problems. In addition to the laws of Avodas HaKarka for the farmers, in addition to the laws for the consumer, there's one additional halacha of kedushas perish v'is, that if someone has some perish v'is to have kedusha, when you sell it, so the money that one gets in exchange is nitvas b'kedushas perish v'is. That's the halacha shvius tofesus domeha. So let's say if a farmer is relying on the Het Mechira, so he holds that his parents don't have any parish shvius, and the consumer wants to be machmir that the parents do have a kedushas parish shvius, but he's paying a regular price for it. So then the problem is that by my giving money to the farmer, the money becomes nitfas for kedushas parish shvius. The farmer is supposed to use that money to buy other food, whatever, salami sandwiches or soda, whatever he wants to buy, and eat that food before the Zman HaBiur of the original Perish Shviyas. Let's say he was selling bananas or apples or oranges of Perish Shviyas. So each pri has a shas habira. So when I pay money to the farmer in exchange for the fruits that I buy, so the farmer is supposed to take that money and buy food and eat enough before the shas habira. But the farmer is certainly not going to do that. He's going to take the money, put it in the bank. So the Mishnah says, I, the consumer, will be in violation of the evil to see the mitzvah, because I know that he's not going to use the money to finish his perishes. So that's going to pose a problem. So the Gedolim in the recent generations pointed out that based on the Gemara, the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the din, this din that perishes are toifsim de mayhem, and the farmer has to use up all of the money by buying, eating food, purchasing food, and eating enough before the shas habir of the original food that he sold. This only applies if the consumer paid him with cash, or he paid him with shavi kesef or something else. But if he bought on credit, and the consumer ate up the fruits already before he pays the money, then the Gemara says that shvis is not tafes is the mel. It's only tafes dalu if you have the zetach hazeh. So that's what the poskim say in recent years. They quote from the Chazon Ish that if you pay by check, so there is no zetach hazeh. Or let's say if you pay by credit card, same as paying by check, you're not really giving anything that's a zetach hazeh. The farmer has a right to draw against my account. Once my account, I have the right to draw against someone else's account. And the other person has a right to draw against someone else's account. So everything is just in the loop. There is no zetach hazeh. So whenever there's no zetach hazeh, so that solved the problem of shvi'is tofesis dameho, that you're not considered as being in violation of the nibbah the city mitzvah by paying the money to the farmer. It's not going to be tefes dam. Then there's another din. When shvi'it the year comes to a close, shvi'is nishametes esamilve besofa. When the shvi'it, that's in other words, the year from this coming Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Tav Shinayin Vav, whoever has an outstanding loan, chov sam, if I purchased a lot of food by the grocery and I bought on credit and I didn't pay, then the Mishnah says Shavuos doesn't cancel the debt. And if I paid because of a gneiva, I stole, I robbed someone, or I smashed into his car and I owe him $1,000, then Shavuos doesn't cancel that kind of a debt. Chayv or mazik, Shavuos doesn't cancel. Shavuos only cancels halvos or a chov sam. So let's say some of us lent money to our children to buy a home. Some of us lent money to our children to go to graduate school, and they obligated themselves to pay us back. So shvi'is will cancel that loan when it comes to an end. So to secure your debt, to make sure the shmita doesn't cancel, so the Mishnah quotes that Hillel made a takana of Kruzbul. It's a question, what do we mean when we say Hillel made a takana? It's a takana b'dirabanan, and a Torah doesn't exist, or no? Taisus in Gittin says Takana means Dorash V'Hiskin. He just made popular the Din Daraisa all along, from the days of Mamun HaSinai. Taisus says there was always a Din of Kruzbul. Kruzbul is identical with the Din of Moses Shteros and the Bezin. So Taisus in Gittin claims that Kruzbul works in a term. But until the days of Hillel, it wasn't popularly known. Hillel publicized it. He let everybody know. Most of the Rishonim understand that that's not correct, that the principle was a takana midirabana. Once in a long while, we'll use the expression iskin, a takana, in the sense of dorash or iskin, and it made popular a din, but usually it means that it's a takana midirabana. So there are two ways to make a principle. One is you go in front of a bezdin, and you say, I lent $100,000 or whatever, $500,000 to so-and-so, the din is that you can only write a principle if that person who borrowed the money owns real estate or rented real estate. So if he owns real estate, most people own or rent real estate, so then you're able to make a principle. So if I tell this to the Bezdin, I lent an amount of money to Pliny, so Bezdin will write that we, the undersigned Bezdin, took over all the debts of Mr. So-and-so, that somebody owes him money. The Malveh appeared before the Bezdin, and they signed that we appoint him as the Shlech Bezdin to collect the debt on our behalf, which he just transferred to us. It's a haroma, but that was the takana of Hillel. Another way, so in that fashion, you'll have a shtar. three members of the Bezin. You don't really need all three members. The Gemara says two out of the three can sign. But in that way, you'll have a document signed by the members of the Bezin that you have a Kuzma. Or if a person forgets to make the Kuzma, and it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he davened Mincha already, and he doesn't have time to pick up Bezin three, he can make an oral declaration in presence of two witnesses in shul, that I give all of my debts over to the Bezdin in Casablanca, and I'll mention the three Rabbanim in Shaitan, to the Bezdin in Yerushalayim. I'll pick out three names of three Rabbanim, even though the Rabbanim don't know that I picked them out. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, and that's also acceptable. But then you won't have the members of the Bezdin able to sign the document for you. But it doesn't matter, you will be believed later on to ask the Loiva to pay the debt. And if the Loiva will say, but Shemitah came to an end and they canceled the debt, so you will be believed to say that I made a crucible, because the Gemara says it's so easy to make a crucible, you have no manas to claim it. When the crucible should be made. So the Pashto says you have to make your crucible before the end of the Shemitah year, so you have another year, till the end of Shnas Tav Shinayin Hay. And they quote Shulchan Aruch that there is a chumrah to make the principle before the end, before the Shemitah year enters. For various reasons, they quote the Vilna Gaon was choshish like that, that he always made the principle before the Shemitah year began.
Okay, so now we are going inside this famous hotel called Mazagon. You are going to have the bathroom.